Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic, economic development. We'll talk with Lance Gilman at the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Mike Tillaby, Susan Fisher, and Bill Uffelman. Coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Lance Gilman. He is the broker partner for the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
I'm pleased to be here, Sam. Thank you.
Economic development front and center with AB 449. I wanted to start out just to introduce people who may not be aware of your history. You started back in 1985 being involved with two of the biggest development deals, South Meadows Double Diamond Ranch Project in Reno with companies like IGT and Lockheed. The whole project created thousands of jobs. Currently, you run the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, which covers two-thirds of Story County and over 100,000 acres with an investment of $100 million of infrastructure and currently employing 7,000 workers. Tell us some of the business that are located there.
Oh, wonderful businesses, a cross section. We've got machine gun producers, we've got people building diving boards. Of course, Walmart, PetSmart, Calcan is out there. We've even got a group generating flowers, and then you can get diapers if you want to have them. 1-800-DIAPERS is out there. So there's a wonderful cross section, probably 11 million feet or more today. I think there's over 120 companies out there, and there's such a diversity. There's a nice mix of manufacturing versus distribution, and some of the largest corporations in the United States. So it's a great project. It's the largest in the United States.
So you're definitely somebody who can talk about economic development from a businessman's point of view. Talk about how leads are generated for your park.
Wonderful question. Thank you very much. When a lead or a major company arrives in Nevada, they can come from three sources. They'll come from the major brokerage houses, for example, that have leads, and that would be a Coal Banker, for example, or a Grubb & Ellis, or Alliance Group. And so they bring their own leads to the market. Other leads arrive through our independent economic generators, and so those would be folks maybe like EDON or NNDA, who do some advertising and some marketing. And so they would generate some leads. But probably the largest source of leads come in through our state economic development group. And that's because if you're interested in coming to Nevada, you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call the state and you're going to talk to the state agency. And so that's really where the state's leads start. Then the state has to disseminate those leads, and so they have put policies and procedures in place that send the leads that come to the state out, and primarily they will focus on the independent resources of an EDON or an NNDA. And then those folks will decide who eventually are going to come out to our $100 million project and grace us with their tours and their expertise. And that's where the system is really starting to break down.
Okay.
We're very disappointed with that.
All right, explain how.
The disappointment really starts because of the quality of individual that's chosen. You might look when you're a private enterprise economic development entity, as we have discussed, you generate your revenues from the state. The state sends them part of their monies. But most of their monies come from private capitalization, private industry. Private industry then buys, much like a lobbyist, a strong position within those groups. And so the groups really have to work toward their major contributors.
All right, sir, let me make
this... complicated?
Yeah, let me make it a little simpler. So what you're saying is that the leads don't come directly to you. They come to people who work with groups like EDON and NDA down in southern Nevada.
Correct.
And people pay to be able to get these leads and then bring people out on tours of the parks?
Indirectly they do. For example, those private entities will generate capital by having folks pay into the system, $2,500, $5,000, $10,000. The more you give, the more power you have within that agency. So whether you're a broker or whether you're a contractor or whether you're some private business entity, you can actually buy yourself a position on a board or on a committee or even have the right to do tours within our market. And again, that's where the system breaks down, because here we are with a $100 million project and we're waiting for professional trained hosts from our state to come in and show this fabulous project that's next to none, and we get folks that really truly don't know what they're doing. They don't even know what's in the tour, but rather than calling us, they'll just send somebody out to drive around and say, we're at TRI. It's ludicrous and it's crazy.
It almost sounds corrupt if people are actually paying to be on boards.
Well, I don't know that corrupt, although it's a system for capitalizing private enterprise for economic development. Instead of having it in the hands of folks that have the best interest of the state at heart, we have it in the hands of folks who are trying to appease their capital providers. And it's the way of the West. It's the way the system works. It's capitalism at its best. Unfortunately, it doesn't lead to a very quality environment when you're generating leads and you're trying to sell our state to outside. You want the state leads, you want the state clients to be treated with professional presentations, professional knowledge, professional understanding. You want them to come to the state and leave here relocating, not becoming one of the statistics. Well, we had 35 visit last month and we got one of them. You know, that's not the statistic that makes sense. The statistic that counts is how many did we relocate. And I'm going to suggest to you that we are losing so many more than we're actually gaining. And we're not losing them because the state doesn't qualify. We're losing because our state hosts are not qualified to do the job they're doing. Huh. That's the system that must be amended and quickly.
All right, let's take a break. More with Lance Gilman when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
There's an easier way inside local entertainment. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking about economic development with Lance Gilman. He's the broker partner for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. How do you make this, then, a level playing field?
A level playing field starts with our governor, who has already said, I am focused on economic development. And right now, I want to kind of throw in here that I believe economic development is job creation, and job creation is revenue production for the state. And I don't think there's anything more important than the budget today that they're looking at here. We'll realign our budget, and let's get economic development on track, because we need the jobs and the revenues. And the governor said, I'm on board on that. As a matter of fact, he's even called the first company. He said, I'll go and I'll visit. That's where the level playing field starts. And then, if he will appoint a couple of really strong leaders, one for the political side, we can talk about that, and one for the marketing side, who will then administer to the system that's already in place. The system is broken, but the system can be fixed by good, strong leadership. They just have to go in and say, thou shall do this, and thou shall do that, and thou shall not do this anymore. And with that leadership, the playing field will fix in 90 days. Let me be emperor for 1 month, and I'll fix it.
All right, but let's break that down. So what you're saying is you want the governor to be in charge.
Yes.
You want to have two distinct czars, as it were.
Yes.
One to handle the political side, which would be the state, the counties, the cities, and then you want to have somebody who would be the marketing person.
Yes, it's two distinct and different responsibilities. The marketing person is going to go out to the world. It's going to put the budget together. It's going to put the plan together to market to all of these Fortune 500 companies that are out there looking for us. And it's going to be the state host. The people that are going to train and be professionals and make sure that someone coming out talking to me or representing the largest industrial park in the United States actually knows what they're doing. I've actually had people out there from these agencies that don't even know how to show the park. They don't even know what's there. And so that administrator, that appointee, would be in charge of making sure that side of the system works. The other side of the system is political. And what I mean by political is we just had a fabulous company here. They have 9 locations around the nation where they have these multi-million dollar plants producing wonderful products. And we had them here, and they went down to our state EPA. And I don't want to call bad, but let me tell you something. They sat at that table, and the EPA said, well, we need a full set of plans in order to even look at it. That's $50 million to these people. Not 10% of plans. They need the full set of plans, $50 million, and we'll give you an answer in 4 to 6 years. Now, I don't have to tell you, that company left here and said, you guys can walk. And they walked as a company. So we called back the EPA and we talked to the administrator down there and said, help, what do you mean a full set of plans? Well, that we don't want to mislead companies coming in here, so that's the worst case scenario. Why didn't you tell them that? Why didn't you tell them we can actually do it in 6 months, not 6 years? Well, we don't want to give false impressions. Well, we just walked a company that was a marvelous job generator and revenue generator for the state. So the political side of this, the gentleman that would take or the lady who would take the appointment from the governor would be responsible for working with all state, local agencies to make sure that we're all on the same page. If we're going to get a dynamic company here who wants to come out and join us here in Nevada, then everyone in the state line of business needs to be on board with the idea that we need to be proactive. We need to be positive. We need to figure out solution-driven things, not, well, we can take it in 6 years and we need $50 million worth of plans.
All right,
craziness.
So bottom line is that, I mean, and you are a man, I want to reiterate, who is dealing with major companies coming in and are already relocating at the park, despite how bad the economic system is in the state, business is actually growing.
Well, there is business out there, and of the last 7, 4 of them located out of TRI. But I promise you, it was in spite of economic development, not because of. I can already tell you that in front of some of these people, our private industry leaders are fighting over territory. They're fighting over turf. They're like gang warfare in neighborhoods. You know, I get the lead. No, you get the lead. Who's supposed to have the lead? Well, I'm the one that's in charge. And they're actually struggling, arm wrestling, over how the system works. And unfortunately, some of the state policies and procedures from the state economic have bought into some of that and are exacerbating the problem, not leveling the playing field to fix it. And it's just a matter...
And to be specific, you're talking about EDON, you're talking about an NDA, you're talking about Nevada Development Authority are all the ones that are fighting over this
right now,
force.
Those are the guys that are in charge. Those are the guys that meet every single client that comes to Nevada. And I'm going to tell you, if I'm sitting as a Nevadan and I want jobs and I want prosperity, then we better get those guys on the same page and getting along, and there's some fundamental procedures and regulations that must change immediately. And the reason I'm advocating the governor just bring in two strong leaders, one political and one for the marketing side, is we don't need layers of boards, and we don't need all the legislators joining a board that's going to oversight and then have a board that oversights. We need quick answers to people that are coming here and won't give us very much time. They're going to look at Salt Lake, they're going to look at Phoenix, they're going to go to Austin, Texas. And I'm going to tell you, those economic development drivers are in perfect harmony. They will go down to a site and shake hands with a company and say, we're so glad you're here, please let us know if there's anything we can do to help you locate here in our state. We're just not doing that. We're just not giving them that kind of professional upside to coming to Nevada. And so, are we getting a few ripe apples that come on the tree? Yeah, we are. But how much of the tree is going somewhere else? And I'm going to tell you, it's too much.
In a state that has 13% unemployment, this seems to me it's all about jobs.
It's all about economic development is jobs, just another word for jobs, and revenue production. And so it'll be a pretty simple task. Instead of going through 2 years of deciding what the best way to design the bill is, I think the bill is 120 pages. And ultimately, given enough time, it'll be great, but maybe too much too late. And so, you know, I'm a strong advocate for this issue can be resolved, repaired, and we can be put on a fast-track quality professional level with a couple of strong leaders under the governor and reporting to the governor saying we need this, this is wrong, that might. And so perhaps he has a review board to look at it, but use the system that's in place today. I will tell you candidly, I'm not bashing a lot of great people. There are wonderful people in the state, in these agencies, that really know what they're doing. But in many ways, we're tying their hands. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing enough of those. I'm seeing the guys... May I give you a quick story?
About 20 seconds.
Oh, so I have a guy sitting at my table, and I have people from Europe who are sitting there, and the lady is saying, the wife of the owner of the company, geez, I love all the wild horses out here. And the agent who is representing says, oh, yeah, but you're going to hate it when you see the 18-wheelers run over all their babies out here in the street. Now, that's a fact. That happened at my table in my office. And so later, the man is saying, well, I saw quite a lot of law enforcement out here. It must be a safe place to be. Well, yeah, but every time you drive out here, they'll give you a ticket. Now, that's the guy sitting at my table with a European company that we eventually landed, but in spite of who was there representing the state. And that's what has to change.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much, sir. We wish you good luck in this process. It's AB 449. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductors Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
Are you looking for a new job? Then check out the News 4 Career Center.
At the El Dorado, there's a little bit of magic in everything we do. It's that special something. Call it what you want, but know we do it just for you. So come inside and see what's inside the El Dorado.
Joe's Diner is celebrating its 10th year in business by offering new early bird specials. $1 espresso, $1 latte, $1 cappuccino, $1 mocha, $1 mimosa, plus $1 beer and $1 wine happy hour. And don't forget the $5.99 breakfast, lunch, or dinner weekday value menu. Cheddar Jack cheese omelets, burger and fries, falafel and fries, and super sloppy Joe and fries. In its 10th year, Joe's continues to be Reno's best value. Eat at Joe's, corner of South Virginia, Neal.
Time to make memories at Ashley Furniture Home Store's biggest sale of the year. Ashley's Memorial Day event. Get up to 20% off or 4 years no interest or an HD TV with any qualifying purchase. Ashley Furniture Home Store, the number one name in furniture.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Susan Fisher is here, principal with Fisher Consulting. Bill Uffelman is president of the Nevada Bankers Association. And Mike Hillaby is principal with Hillaby and Associates. Pleasure to have you all here.
Good morning.
I wanted to pick up on the theme that we've just heard from Lance Gilman regarding these fiefdoms almost of EDON and NDA and NDA down in Southern Nevada. What do you make of all this?
Well, I absolutely agree with Mr. Gilman. We have too many different organizations, and then we have a number of private companies like the power company that has their own individual economic development organization as well within the master organization. There needs to be more coordination, less competition between them. There needs to be more control under the governor's office. I'm a partner in an industrial development park as well, and we've been facing the same problems. We've kind of given up and said, we'll do it ourselves, just as Mr. Gilman does.
Well, it seems to me, why isn't the state sending these companies directly to these business parks, you know, having a master list of the number of business parks, and just saying to all of them, you know, this is the company that wants to come in, make your best play?
Well, that's what needs to be changed. I mean, that's the governor said he's going to focus on this, and I think we'll get through finish the session here so he can devote even more time to it. But the governor's staff and the governor need to make that happen. There's if the legislation is standing in the way, we got 2.5 weeks left that we could repeal what's in the way and get moving.
That the legislation is in the way, though.
If it is.
I don't think there's any legislation in the way that's blocking anything that could be done. They just aren't doing it.
Well, you've seen it from both the governor's office as chief of staff, but also from a private development point of view as well.
Yeah, and I'd love to get some conflict in the show, because then it makes it more interesting, but I've got to do a little bit of me too. I think the governor's on the right track. Mm-hmm. It's great that he has put his bully pulpit behind that and said economic development matters. You've clearly seen that from the legislature, who agrees. Now, they may disagree on some of the details, but anything we can do to make that more streamlined, I just heard on the radio on the way in this morning on National Public Radio, Sears is shopping around and maybe move their corporate headquarters out of Illinois. Well, so I hope somebody's on the phone with them right now because of their tax burden and challenges in that state. So if we could coordinate that better, that would be fantastic.
I think Mr. Gilman is pulling out his iPhone as we speak. Yesterday we saw the Democrats pass the education bill and irritating the Republicans. Your thoughts on this and how this is all going? Is this a train going down to the end of the track?
This is a train going to the end of the track. I'm afraid the bridge is out somewhere along the line there that will change the course of it, but it is what it is. We've got 4 weeks left till the end, and I think it'll be playing out pretty close to the end.
You know, one of the most interesting things I saw last night was one of your colleagues and our friends, Anjanette Damon, put out on her Twitter feed, well, since they've passed education first, even if he vetoes it, have they met that constitutional hurdle? And I looked it up last night, and the Constitution doesn't say the governor has to also enact the education budget first. It just says the legislature has to pass it before any other appropriations. If he vetoes it, as is expected, they can hold on to it at the end, it appears. So that could be, that changes the dynamic a lot at the end game, that they could, in fact, hold on to the education budget if that's correct. And I think there may be, it may well be.
Wow. Your thoughts on this process at this point? Because it seems like nobody is really talking behind the scenes to get something done.
I'm sure they must be. I'm not talking to them, but I'm sure there's somebody talking. I know there are a lot of times when they're supposed to be in floor session or supposed to be in committees, some of the key players are not in their seats, or we're standing around waiting after they've rung the bell for the floor session to start and we're not starting yet. It's because they're behind closed doors, and they are doing that, but I'm not sure they've got all the right players there.
The closer we get to the end, the more powerful the governor appears to be becoming.
Absolutely. The veto process, and if they want to, well, the veto process will kind of rule us all.
How do you compare this to 2003, the last most contentious session?
Well, I hope obviously we don't see a repeat of that, but some of the same signs are happening. You just you don't see the kinds of conversation happening, positions hardening. I think there's been obviously a lot of conversations about some of the Assembly Republicans who have talked about a list of things they might be able to talk about exchanging for a vote for at least lifting the sunsets. I don't know that any of them thought $1.5 billion or whatever the number might be of a larger plan was something. But the sides are just seem to be driven further and further apart. Yesterday was a good example on the Senate floor. Everyone's talked about some of the committee on the whole sessions that have seemed to just harden positions. And it's not one legislator said, who was potentially one of the reasonable ones or ones up for bargain, however you want to describe it, said, well, now that I've been forced to vote no once, why don't they think I'd vote no again? Mm-hmm. So it's very, obviously I don't think any of us want to see a repeat of 2003, don't want to see this at the Supreme Court. I'm sure they don't want to see this back in their laps.
But it certainly looks like it could be heading that way.
Oh, I hope not, Sam. But it could be a long summer.
Ed Vogel and Ben Spillman reporting the Nevada legislature approves Democrats' redistricting plan. This is another one heading for the courts.
I think it will be another one heading for the courts. It was interesting yesterday, the Republicans saying, well, this is discriminatory, not against Republicans, but discriminating against Hispanics. And I thought that was an interesting tack that they took. And they peeled off Harvey Munford and the Assembly. And he voted with Republicans and agreed with them. And I haven't talked with him to find out what his precise reasoning was on it, but I thought that was an interesting switch.
So message to Supreme Court, do not plan summer vacation, perhaps winter vacation. That's exactly where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on About the Newsmakers after this timeout.
Caltrans will close U.S. Highway 50 at Echo Summit starting May 11th for approximately 2 weeks, depending on weather, to rebuild the old rock barrier. The alternate route goes through California's historic gold country in Amador and El Dorado counties, past panoramic vineyards, rugged river canyons, gold mines, museums, historic main streets, and beautiful flower farms. Visit way2tahoe.com for schedules, maps, and places to eat and explore along the route. That's way2tahoe.com.
Put your best foot forward in your own home. Whether it's the finest hardwood, the sturdiest tile, the toughest laminate, all types and styles of beautiful, colorful designer carpet, or durable tile of any variety, Giant Carpet One has it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of our 12-month, no-down, no-interest financing. Giant Carpet One Floor and Home, the one store for your perfect floor.
With all the uncertainty around healthcare, if you don't have health insurance through your work, now is a good time to find an individual plan that makes sense for your needs and budget from a name you can trust, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For example, Kristen just started her own business.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield helped me compare plans, and my personal doctor was in their large network. And when I needed surgery later, I didn't worry about my savings or my bottom line.
Or take George, who retired early and chose a plan that covers prescriptions.
I had a little health scare recently. My doctor ran some tests and changed my prescription. And now, I'm back in the game.
With Caitlin's busy life, she needed coverage she could count on with preventive care.
Because with kids, you never know what will happen.
If you're looking for individual health coverage that makes sense, join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
For a free rate quote, contact your local agent. Call 1-866-771-0096 or visit us online at anthemforme.com.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at nevadanewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, State Senator Don Gustafson. See you on the next broadcast.